The role which you are now hearing is a group of various selections which have been edited and rearranged, depicting events that have transpired over a period of time. The first one that you will hear is a recording of a party Murtha and I had at the farm on Saturday, June the 28th, 1952. The guests included Mr. and Mrs. Wesley Disney. At that time, Mr. Disney was chairman of the Democratic County Central Committee, and of course, Murtha was co-chairman. The other guests included Mr. and Mrs. George Harvey, Mr. and Mrs. Tommy Kurtz, Mr. and Mrs. Chuck Nine, Nettie Smith, Alpha Harvey's sister, and of course Mike was there. The evening seemed to be enjoyed by everyone, and this of course was the evening when Wes Disney had his encounter with the Palomino horse and was very badly kicked in the leg, resulting in Chuck Nine having to take him first to the doctor at Owosso, or rather at Collinsville, and then when the doctors there were either gone or drunk, he had to take him to Skytook. And finally, after a couple of hours, we were able to get 11 stitches in Wesley's leg, and it seemed to work out all right. Subsequently, we find that his leg is mending all right, but that was the only event that marred the evening. During the course of the evening, we had a buffet supper, and then after that, everybody played croquet or lounged around the patio, and everybody seemed to have a good time. Finally, ending up along about 1 o'clock in the morning after a rather spirited croquet game by the boys, which was played in semi-darkness due to the fact that there were no lights there. And it was fortunate that we were 18 miles out in the country, because all of the yelling and arguing and horseplay back and forth could have been heard for miles. So the balance of this recording at this time is some of the events and some of the voices of the people that were at the party on June the 28th, 1952.
I don't know what you're wasting tape on me for.
Let the chairman of the Democratic County Central Committee speak. Huh? Just
let. Ladies and gentlemen, you are about to hear the voice of Wes Disney, the chairman of the Democratic Central Committee. Stand by, please. Here is Mr. Disney.
Thanks, sir. Since this is being recorded for posterity, why, I don't know whether I should say anything or not for the record. However, since I've had so much pressure put on me by this man Crowley.
That's Crowley.
Oh, that's right, Crowley. And her wife, and his wife, Martha Crowley. Have you all heard of Martha Crowley?
Here we are, ladies and gentlemen, at the scene of Coyote Corners Farms near Collinsville, Oklahoma. Maybe, there's a party being held here now. Most of the guests are out in back of the house playing croquet. I'll turn up the volume. Maybe you hear the jukebox going inside and the wind blowing out here. It must be around 1 o'clock. Don't know whether you could hear the wind blowing or not, but you might hear the jukebox going, and It was pretty windy tonight, a few clouds overhead. Wind's blowing fairly hard. Just a nice cool night though.
Any guessing though, that's what we get in the picture of up there at Everest, and they get to Oregon, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't that tough, buddy?
Don't get too close to the microphone, you got turned up real high.
Well, when you going to record it?
Just a minute.
Oh.
It's already recording.
Well, what are you waiting on? There ain't nothing else.
That was confusing.
Oh, you hearing now?
Mm-hmm. I don't think they
do. This recording is one of Mirtha in an effort to get down on tape her speech-making ability.
As far as everybody but myself and a few men in Washington are concerned, the pair are leading communists. I can't say for sure, but I wouldn't be surprised if someone in Washington had cooked up the idea of sending the Felserks to China. Tomorrow, Adrian and the Bosporus.
Well, let's go down here to Kelly. Well, we'll get us some going dirty with telescope sights. And let's go down in there, we'll stir one up. You can't miss them. Well, hurt them, good night. Well, what's you been thinking in that lower pasture? We'll run all the cows up in this corner up there and count. I'm going to shoot every damn thing in that lower pasture.
Everything is moved.
Yeah. That's the way to do that, isn't it, man?
Well,
there, I want to hunt me a lantern. Before they were down at night,
this would be awesome.
Sure. Yeah. About to shoot sundown.
That's what we call it, the Iowa Corner.
Boy, it up. I've never heard of that. 20 or 30.
See ya. All we got to do is
we'll get some good rides when you come out on the hill. Can't get very close to it. And it's hard to get out in the daytime. You just gotta take the horses down in there and kick them out.
Well, we'll see y'all.
Where you going?
Where to go?
Good night.
That way in?
Chuck, you leaving?
That way in?
Talk about the horses. Talk about the horses and how sore you are.
Pretty good horses, I guess.
Yeah, how you like them?
It's fine.
You do?
Pretty sore, I don't like you.
It won't hurt you to talk a little louder.
Let's see, I don't know what to talk about right now. You pretty sleepy?
Oh, pretty sleepy. Sleepy enough.
I am too. I wish I'd got out here somewhere and was asleep.
How'd you like wrestling on TV?
Yeah, that was pretty good. I liked it.
What was that story about?
Oh, that was something about this German war, you know. In France, you know, there's ten Americans got killed, and there's some guy tipped them off, you know, the Germans, they got the firing squad.
I am scattered,
and this guy, he come back, you know, to find out who turned them in, you know. And he tried to marry this girl, you know. It was a pretty good story.
Oh, what's your name?
D.P. Branch.
D.P. Branch? What's your wife's name?
Marie Branch.
Oh, you are married.
Oh, yeah.
How many children you got?
None.
How long you been married?
Oh, about 8 months, I imagine, somewhere around that.
You like boys or girls best?
Oh, I'd rather have boys.
You plan to live on a farm?
Well, I don't believe I'd rather live in the city, I think.
Why?
Oh, there's more conveniences and stuff like that. So. I like a farm, but I don't like to live on it all the time.
What does your wife want to do? Does she want to live on a farm or in the city?
No, I think she'd rather live in the city.
It's pretty good there. Yes, sir. Well, it's been nice talking to you. We'll see you.
Okay.
Today is July the... Today is July the 13th, 1952, and we are preparing to go to McAllister, where we will have the big open house on the houses being built there. Leo and Betty, and I believe Alf and George went down yesterday, and now Al and Virginia are here, and we're preparing to drive down, and Al and Virginia have brought hamburgers and Cokes, and we're all grouped around the little coffee table in the living room, getting ready to stuff them down before we start. And now, for posterity, I want to record the voices of Al and Virginia.
It's always very interesting to come over to the Crowleys, and this is one of the new shenanigans that he's rigged up, I suppose, to record for posterity the voices of his friends, whether they be loud, raucous, for or against him. But we can certainly say that we are both loud, both raucous, and both for him. Although there's one point of departure, perhaps, and that is this business of the politics in the families, Culp and Crowley. If they continue, they're going to make a Democrat out of Al. If I continue, I'm going to make a Democrat out of Crowley. The two of them, Dickens is going to win. I'm, yes, I mean a Republican. That's most important. Here's Al.
Looks like there's some confusion around here. Who's a Republican and who's a Democrat? Guess no one knows these days. Maybe there isn't too much difference in politics.
I thought we'd all more or less decided on Eisenhower, hadn't we?
Why? We agreed that was our unanimous choice. And here we are. What?
I beg your pardon. Position at this time, I would definitely like to go down as being opposed to Eisenhower.
See, that was quite vehement.
That's for the recording only, I'm sure.
Well, that's only for the point of the recording? You mean there's a different record that'll count later?
We'll have to get another one for her.
I see. Well, it'll be nice to be able to support the man who's going to be president to lead this country out of all the chaos and difficulty that we seem to be faced with. I hope it doesn't lead us down the Hoover track of depression. That would be rather drastic.
I'm afraid Albert's going to make a political speech here. Now, remember, this is going to be played 15 years from now. And don't you want to be sure that you put yourself in the position you would like to be in at that time.
Well, now, if this is going to be played 15 years from now, we ought to consider the state of the facts right this time. Here we are, three young partners who have been struggling for a year trying to build a business. And we have gotten to the point where we have only built houses by the hundreds, not just by one at a time anymore. And we're only now considering building another 500 houses here in Tulsa, another 100 in Wichita, and 200 or 300 in McAllister and Pryor, a couple hundred in Oklahoma City. I don't know when the end's coming. It'll be interesting to look back 15 years from now and see what happened during those 15 years. I think it's time we're eating.
For the record, this the preceding recording of Al and Virginia was made on July the 13th, 1952, and we will expect to replay this on July the 13th, 1967, which will be 15 years hence. And we're all waiting anxiously to hear how it will sound at that time. That's all. Well, here it is, Monday, July the 15th. And yesterday, Sunday, we all went to McAllister, as you heard previously. Martha and I, Al and Virginia, made the trip to McAllister without any special thing happening to us. Mike just informed me that today was Monday, July the 14th. So, anyway, yesterday was the 13th, the day we went to McAllister. We arrived in McAllister and went direct to the addition. There we found everything set up and operating. George and Alpha, Leo and Betty, and Betty's cousin, Lucille Williams, were there. Johnny Martzoff was there. Jess Ravis and his wife were there. And they had a temporary office set up at one of the homes, and they were giving away a lady's wristwatch as a door prize to people who came out to see the model home. Also, they were giving away free soda pop. And all afternoon, there were a continual stream of people there. I would say that we had some 400 or 500 people out there at the addition. However, we did not sell any houses, and we were a little bit discouraged by that. But due to the fact that there was so much interest displayed, we thought that possibly they would sell later. After closing down about 7 o'clock, we all went out to Walter Arnott's, together with Shelby Owen, his wife, Dorothy, and Lamar Stuckert and his wife, and the rest of the gang. And we had a couple of drinks there and then went over to Elizabeth Wetzel's. We had a very nice evening at Elizabeth's, met her husband Fred, who was very nice, and they had a nice buffet supper for the whole group. There were some 14 or 16 of us there, and I'm sure we must have taken the Wetzel's by storm. We had a very lovely evening, and all of us left around 11 o'clock, and all of the Tulsa's people started back in three cars, and the Stuckerts and the Owens went back to the hotel, and they were to depart for Fort Worth at 3:30 this morning. No doubt they're back now. This was the evening that J.R. Revis and I traded shirts, sports shirts, and at this time we still haven't traded back. There were no other special events today. We came in from the farm about 9 o'clock and brought a little sister. Mike wanted to stay at the farm and come in later today. Planning Commission meeting tonight. Nothing special. They postponed Albert Culp's Pride and Joy, the cemetery deal, until next Wednesday, and I probably will be in Chicago for the Democratic Convention at that time. Mirtha attended a party at Virginia Culp's, spent most of the afternoon there. She also learned that Ruth Bennett had returned from Europe, and she talked to her on the telephone a few minutes. Mirtha had a meeting tonight of her Democratic Central Committee, Wes Disney, and Glenn Sexton. Nothing special, except that Wesley had a hard night last night and didn't stay very long. Mike had a big evening. He came in by bus from the farm. Mirtha picked him up at the bus station at 6:30, and he came home and proceeded immediately to make arrangements to go out with some of the girlfriends, and I think especially his special pride and joy, Sandra Howerton. It is now 12:20 a.m. in the morning. Mike just went to bed, and Mirtha folded up about 2 hours ago, and it looks like that concludes all of the events up to now. This is the end of the tape diary as of Monday, July 14th, 1952.
That's what that drink was.
Where are you going?
Going home.
Wait, who are you going home with?
Look, we're all got going to have the alarm clock now. Oh, you guys,
we're all going on media.
I want to
do you have an alarm clock?
I want to check his registration next week.
Jim Hardesty's route.
He's gonna be on the floor in a moment.
Your cable's a little long.
It was time.
Well, that's the floor that went the last. Boy, we were getting loud, weren't we?
Preceding voices and the music that followed took place at a party here at our house on July the 5th, 1952. Those present included Alvin George Harvey, Wesley Disney, and his wife, the Elizabeth Wetzel and Clark Kendrick, Mr. Disney Sr., Leo and Betty Gibson. Everybody seemed to have a fine time at the last there, just before the present recording. You will hear them arguing about who is going to take Elizabeth home. So the following is some of Wes Disney's renditions on the piano in the conclusion of the evening. So here it is. Listening to a recording program by Wesley Disney, the Sage of Oklahoma. Say you did today?
Went downtown and looked at drapery and slipcover material at Brown Duncan's. The decorator will be out Thursday to see if my selection is proper and fitting for the house.
Well, you didn't say what day it was today. This is Tuesday, July the what? 15th?
Yes, ma'am.
The day the ghost walks.
Ah, dog. Did he walk?
You got your two attic fans in today, didn't you?
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Fine stuff. Buy your attic fans and you don't even appreciate it.
Well, I was worried about buying a new pair of shoes.
You bought, what else did you buy?
New pair of shoes and a black nylon mesh.
What did you buy for Mike?
Oh, two sports shirts, one nylon, which he is very proud.
What did you buy for sister?
Two pairs of pants and a bag of candy. I gave the candy to her because she will divide with Mike. If I give it to Mike, he won't divide with her.
Let me see. Ruth Bennett brought you something, too, didn't she?
Cigarette lighter and some Hotcha French perfume. She said it was guaranteed. It said so on the package, but I don't know what guarantee it offers.
Did she use some of them?
I don't know. I'm planning on trying it out in Chicago next week. I'll let you know. Did I tell you that the Tulsa County Central Committee is furnishing myself and Glenn Sexton with $250 out of the treasure for our trip to Chicago?
What the hell are they furnishing me?
You're the uninvited guest.
That's the one that pays through the nose. I can see that. Leo said he was going to approve $1,000 for me to go, so yeah.
Well, good. I'll buy another new dress tomorrow.
Heck, you will. You got your $250.
Well, here it is, Tuesday, July 15th, and this is Mike speaking. Nothing much happened. 1952. Nothing much happened today. Went skating this morning. It was too rainy to work, and practiced freestyle a little while. Met Cecil Davis's new wife. Lots of skaters got back from Nationals today. Longhorns got back Monday morning at 1 o'clock. And went skating tonight. And Sandra Gross was there. She was back from Nationals. Her and Bill placed ninth in dance, and she got fourth in figures. The Mitchells got back, and Sonia and Phil placed sixth in dance. And, Sonia got last in racing. And then Nasta isn't back yet, but she was the only national champion this year. And, I just got back from skating now. And my dad's sitting here eating Coney Islands. He's got the salt shaker and a glass of milk sitting right by him. And that's about all.
Well, that about winds up everything for Tuesday night, July the 15th, 1952.